Hello and welcome to What Does the Bible Say? I'm your host, Dr. Wayne Davis of Creekside Messianic Fellowship in Jasper, Georgia. I believe with all my heart that we're quickly approaching the day of the Lord, the time when our Messiah Yeshua is going to blow that trumpet and call us all home. I want to spend the next few weeks looking at the book of John, because I think the Gospel of John has a lot to say to help us be ready for the time when that trumpet does blow. Peter and John have come to the place of the burial, have gone into the tomb, have seen that the body is gone because Messiah is risen. Then what do? Verse 10. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. They go home. But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping. Why is she weeping?
Somebody took her Messiah.
Yes, she wasn't there when Peter and John went in. She doesn't know he's alive and resurrected. So Mary's weeping. As she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. She saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Yeshua had lain. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." So she doesn't know about the resurrection. Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Yeshua standing there and did not know that it was Yeshua. See, if the disciples had stayed and talked about, "Hallelujah, glory, he's arisen," she might have known. But they'd gone home. Besides, it was early. They probably went back to bed. But how could she not know it was Yeshua?
Still dark.
That's true. She's not expecting to see him. And it could well be that he's dressed traditionally with the tallit up over his head, where his face is not readily visible. But I think mostly because it's still dark. The two angels would have lit up the tomb so she could see when she was in the tomb. And he's outside in the dark. So she's in the light, he's in the dark. Yeshua said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, that's kind of cute. He is referred to, we just read in 1 Corinthians, as the second Adam. What was Adam's profession, the original Adam? He was a gardener. So I thought that was kind of cute. But she assumes him to be the gardener and said to him, "Sir, if you carried him away, tell me where you've laid him and I will take him away." Yeshua said to her, "Mary!" Oh, now she knows who it is. She turned and said to him, notice she wasn't even looking at it before. She turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which means great teacher, my rabbi, which is to say teacher. Yeshua said to her, "Do not cling to me." The word in Hebrew is naga, do not touch me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. This was what the high priest would call on Yom Kippur, Leviticus chapter 16, when he was carrying the blood of the sacrifice into the Holy of Holies. He would cry out to the crowd, "Do not touch me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father," because he had to do the sacrifice and all alone. He could have no help. And Yeshua here is playing the role of the high priest. He's taking his blood to put it on the mercy seat in heaven, as we read in the book of Hebrews, and he's got to do it alone. He can't have any help. So just as the high priest would say, "Don't touch me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father," so Yeshua says that. He says, "But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God." Why didn't he just tell Peter and John that? Because they went home. So he says, "Go and tell them. I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, that he had spoken these things to her. Then the same day at evening, so it is still the Feast of First Fruits, the sun's about to go down, being the first of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. Why are they afraid of the Jews? Yeah, they just killed Messiah. They're afraid that his followers, they'll be executed too. But Yeshua came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Shalom Aleichem, peace be with you." Notice how the B is in italics. As my Hebrew students are going to learn in a couple chapters, there are a lot of Jewish sentences that don't have a verb. The verb is implied. And the verb is the am verb. So in this case, peace be with you. It's simply shalom aleichem, which means peace to you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Why? Yeah, he still got the holes. They didn't go away when he rose. He still got the holes. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Yeshua said to them again, "Peace to you." Again, Shalom Aleichem. "As the Father has sent me, I also send you." He gave them a great commission. The words of the great commission are not given here because they're in Matthew. So let's turn over to Matthew chapter 28. He doesn't rebuke them for being afraid, but he tells them not to be afraid. They've got to not love their lives so much that they're afraid to take the gospel message out. They've got to go be witnesses, even though most of them will be martyred. Most of them will die for their faith. But because they were willing to go forth and teach, you and I have received the gospel message. The Great Commission is in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. "And Yeshua came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.'" That's the triunity of God. And disciples are students, and students study. What are they to study? Verse 20 says, "teaching them to observe," which is from the Hebrew shamar, to guard, protect, treatise, precious, "all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. So we should be teaching the disciples to observe all things that God has commanded us. Back to John chapter 20. Verse 22. "And when he had said this, he breathed on them." The word breath in Hebrew is ruach, which is also the word for wind or spirit. So in essence, he is giving them of his spirit. "He breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit.'" And they will in Acts chapter 2. So what he does is say, "Receive it," but they've got to wait. They've got to wait till Acts chapter 2, which is Shavuot or Pentecost. It says, "If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Only God can forgive sins, but the Holy Spirit is God from all eternity and is going to be dwelling within them. Verse 24, "Now Thomas, called the twin," that's not what we usually call him. What do we call him? Doubting Thomas. Yep, that's him. "One of the 12 was not with him when Yeshua came. The other disciples therefore said to him, 'We have seen the Lord.' So he said to them," essentially, I paraphrase, says, "'Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe.'" Now, as I mentioned at the Seder, The nails were not through the palm of the hand, as we see depicted in all kinds of pictures and movies, because the nails would just tear through the flesh of the hand. There's nothing to hold them. But the Hebrew word for hand is yod, and it goes from the tip of the fingers to the elbow. That's all the yod in Hebrew. And the nails actually go through the wrist here, where there's that great bony structure there that's strong that would keep the nails from pulling through. So that's what they see. So don't be dismayed by the fact that it says hand here. Verse 26, and after 8 days, number 8 in Hebrew is the number of new beginnings, and they're beginning a new walk with Messiah. After 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Yeshua came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Shalom Aleichem, peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hands here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." I'm sure Thomas is thinking, "How did he know I said that?" He wasn't there. but Messiah knows the thoughts of our hearts. And Thomas answered and said to him, My Lord and my God. My messianic commentary in the other room, when I read that, says, this is the closest the New Testament comes to saying that Yeshua is God. I was thinking John 1:1, the beginning was the Word, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I thought that was pretty clear myself, but okay. But this is a pretty clear statement. When he says, my Lord and my God, he is referring to Messiah as being God from all eternity. To him, the resurrection was the proof. He had claimed to be, I and my Father are one, it says in John chapter 10, does it not? But now he believes it. I put down a string of sites. If you just want to put in your notes, Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 to 7. Remember, one of the terms there for Messiah is El Gibor, which means mighty God. That's the one that begins, For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, his name shall be called. And one of those names is El Gibor, mighty God. Then Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 5 to 6, where the Lord is referred to as, what? Adonai Zedekenu, the Lord our righteousness. And then Micah chapter 5, verse 2, which talks about Messiah's birth in Bethlehem and how he would be. How he would be what? Let's look at Micah 5, 2. Because we don't often go to Micah. Micah in Hebrew is Micha, short for Michael, who is like God. Micah 5, 2 says... Let me give you a moment to find it. It says, But you, Bethlehem Ephratah. Why do they have to add Ephratah? There's more than one Bethlehem in Israel. This is the one in Ephratah, which means it's the one down 5 miles outside of Jerusalem. Though you are little among the thousands of Judah, that is, of the thousands of little villages in Judah, says, Yet out of you shall come forth to me, the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. So if Messiah has been from everlasting, what does that tell you about him? In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. And in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 4, which is the one that says, Tell us his name if you know, and his son's name. That it was prophesied that God would have an only begotten son. I just have you write those down because of the time. Back to John chapter 20. We're almost done with chapter 20. Verse 29 is about you and me. Yeshua said to him, that is to Thomas, Thomas, because you've seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. That's us. We believe without having had to stick our fingers in the holes and our hands in the side. And we believe because of the testimony that those who were there and saw left for us. Verse 30. And truly Yeshua did many other signs in the presence of his disciples which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Yeshua is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life. In his name. There's no other name given under the heaven or earth by which men must be saved. Yeshua said in John 14, 6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. And now a very critical chapter in John to me is chapter 21. It says, After these things, Yeshua showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way he showed himself. But first, what's the Sea of Tiberias? Another name for the Sea of Galilee. Yeah. If you turn back to Matthew chapter 28, Messiah himself had prophesied that this would take place. Matthew chapter 28, verse 10. Then Yeshua said to them, this is after the resurrection, Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. So back in John chapter 21, He goes up to Galilee. What are the disciples doing up in Galilee?
Fishing.
Fishing, yeah. Did he know they would be up there fishing? Yeah, he knew. So verse 21, chapter 21, verse 1, says, after these things, Yeshua showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. What does it mean, showed himself again? Well, we just saw him show him to the disciples twice, once without Thomas, once with Thomas. So this is at least a third time, Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, he showed himself, Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, again, doubting Thomas, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, that's James and John, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. What was Peter doing when he was found by the Lord and called as a disciple? He was fishing. He was a fisherman. It's what he knew. He's going back fishing. They said to him, we're going with you also. They went out and immediately got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had now come, Yeshua stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Yeshua. They're 100 yards out, about the length of a football field. They can see there's somebody up there, but they don't know who it is. And Yeshua said to them, children, have you any food? If you remember in John chapter 13, verse 33, he called them little children. Now he calls them children. They've grown a little. They've grown a little in their faith. They're not yet mature, or they wouldn't be fishing. They answered him, no. He said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Remember Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11? Early on, the disciples hadn't found anything. He told them to try again. They brought in a huge amount of fish. So what happens this time, they go, uh-oh. I know who's standing on shore now. So it says, therefore, that disciple whom Yeshua loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. So, yep, he's doing the same miracle he did then. We know who this is. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and he plunged into the sea. Is he trying to commit suicide? No, he's going to swim to shore. Why doesn't he just row the boat?
He's anxious.
Swimming's quicker. He wants to get there. He's anxious to see the Lord.
He's anxious he can walk.
No, I think he's going to swim. He tried walking before, and that didn't go too well for Peter. Yeah. But I do have to say, when Peter got out and walked on the water, for the minute, the other disciples stayed in the boat. So at least he had enough faith to try. That's why the Lord said, ye of little faith, instead of ye of no faith. He at least tried. Verse 8, but the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, that's about 100 yards length of the football field, dragging the net with fish. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals, a charcoal fire. Mark that. There's only two places in the Bible where you see a charcoal fire. Here and in John 18, 18. If you remember when we were in John 18, 18, I told you to mark it. It's very important. Now let's find out why. And fish were laid on it, and bread. Yeshua said to them, bring some of the fish which you have just caught. Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land full of large fish. What kind of fish? They're called in Israel St. Peter's fish. They're called in this country tilapia. Tilapia is the fish that was in the Sea of Galilee. Tilapia are only native to the Sea of Galilee in Israel and Lake Victoria in Africa. The only two places in the world they're native. Here, they're raised farmland style. There's 153, and although there were so many, the net was not broken. Again, a miracle. My Jewish mother in Israel, as I call Susan Marcus, who is our tour guide on so many tours, she always called herself our Jewish mother, said, when Israel went into Egypt, there were 70 nations in the known world. At the time Messiah performs this miracle, there are up to 153 nations. And that it represents the apostles having caught fish from all of the nations of the known world, because that's prophetic of what they're going to do. Their gospel's going to go out to the world and bring in fish from all the different nations. The Lord's truly going to make them fishers of men. Verse 12, Yeshua said to them, come and eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" knowing that it was the Lord. So they know at this point. Yeshua then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish, just like in John chapter 6. He's going to feed them with the bread and the fishes. Do you think they're going to think back to John chapter 6 and how afterwards there were 12 satchels full, each of the apostles carried one and ate from it? Probably would have been for a couple of days. They know it's the Lord. Verse 14, now this is now the third time Yeshua showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. The other two we talked about, Thomas was missing the first time, then there the second. So when they had eaten breakfast, Yeshua said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Yeshua said to him, "Feed my sheep." Now, in the Greek, there's a play on words between filial love, etc., and the different kinds of love. But I think the original here was Hebrew. So I think that's just something creative they did in Greek. But there is something very important here. And that is what the Jewish understanding is of repentance. Repentance is not saying I'm sorry. It is being in the same circumstances and instead of sinning, doing that which is right. So when did we see the charcoal fire in John 18, 18? That was when Peter denied the Lord how many times? Three times. So here, the Lord asks him three times, "Do you love me?" And instead of denying the Lord, he confesses the Lord the three times. He truly has shown his repentance, back in the same circumstances, but taking a different route. And if we look at verse 15, because I went through him fairly quickly, he says, "Feed my lambs." Verse 16, "Tend my sheep." And verse 17, "Feed my sheep." Referring back to, remember when we read in Ezekiel chapter 34 that the shepherds of Israel were, instead of feeding the sheep, were feeding on the sheep and making themselves rich. And God said, "I'll come myself and I will be the shepherd. And I will cause them to lay down on the grassy hills in the Galilee, and I'll feed them myself," as he did in John chapter 6. Well, now he's going away, and he's going to put the religious control of the people, their spiritual watchmen, their spiritual welfare, not under the high priest and the corrupt priesthood in the temple, but under the apostles. The apostles are going to be the shepherds. They're going to walk in the shoes of Messiah. As he was the good shepherd, they're to be a good shepherd like he was. So what Messiah is saying here is, stop being a fisherman and instead shepherd my people, feed my people, care for my people, protect my people, and grow my flock. Verse 18 says, "Most assuredly I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself," meaning you dressed yourself, "and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands," which means what? He's going to die by crucifixion. "And another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." So he's going to die by crucifixion. Verse 19, "This he spoke, signifying by what death he," Peter, "would glorify God. When he'd spoken this, he said to him, 'Follow me.'" Meaning that even though I've just told you that your witness of me is going to cost you your very life, follow me anyway. What if Peter had said, "No, Lord, I'm going fishing. You can forget this gospel stuff." Yeah. Then Peter would have been lost, right?
Yeah.
Peter would have been lost. But he took the commandment of the Lord and he went forth to feed the flock of the Lord. Verse 20, "Then Peter turned around, saw the disciple whom Yeshua loved following, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper," that is the Last Supper, "and said, 'Lord, who is the one who betrays you?'" He could have just said John, but "Peter, seeing him, said to Yeshua, 'But Lord, what about this man?'" Peter's just been told he's going to die by crucifixion, but follow me anyway. And he's saying, but Lord, what about these other people? What are they going to do? What about John here? You know, you love John. What's he going to do? Verse 20, Yeshua said to him, if, circle that word, if, or make a note in your notes. If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? Meaning, worry about yourself. Don't worry about John. It says, you follow me. Then this saying went out among the brethren that this disciple, that John, would not die. Did the Lord say John's not going to die? No, he said, if I will it, what is that to you? People just read into things and say, John's still alive today. No, he's not. He's not 2,000 years old. He died a long time ago. Verse 23, then this saying went out among the brethren that this disciple would not die. Yeshua did not say that he would not die, but if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? Which is really a way of saying, please always remember to read closely. Because on a quick glance, you can draw some wrong conclusions on things. Verse 24, this is the disciple who testified these things and wrote these things. And we know that his testimony is true. Meaning what? Meaning John is the author of the book of John. And John says, I know these are true because I saw them with my own eyes. I didn't hear rumors. I didn't take the testimony of other people. I saw it myself. Verse 25 says, and there are also many other things that Yeshua did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Amen. There are those who say the New Testament is unreliable because there are things Matthew talks about that John doesn't. There are things John talks about that Luke doesn't. It's just said here that if you wrote down everything the Lord did, the world couldn't contain the book. So they had to pick and choose that which was important for their purpose and their audience. And Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all have a different purpose in writing their gospel, which is why there are four of them. They were not just trying to say, I saw it too. Matthew is trying to show to the Jewish people the Messiah is the promised son of David. John's trying to show that Yeshua was not just a man, not just a Jew, not just a rabbi, not just a prophet, but he truly was the Son of God, God from all eternity. And so the other Gospels have their purposes. But having finished a book, what do we always say? Everybody, Chazak, Chazak, Vanish, Chazek. Again, Chazak, Chazak, Vanish, Chazek. Which means be strong, and may we be strengthened. For how are we strengthened in our faith but by studying the Word of God? Any questions about the book of John before we close? If not, let us remember that the gospel message is simple. Messiah was crucified for my sins and for yours. Buried 3 days and three nights, he was raised again to eternal life, and the resurrection proves the truth of his statements, the truth of his message, the truth of the fact that he truly is God from all eternity. And according to the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that guarantees that if we believe in him, we too shall have everlasting life. Well, that's all the time we have for this week, folks. We'll come back to the book of John next week, Lord willing, if we're still here. But I do believe with all my heart that the Lord is coming soon. So I'd encourage you, if you've never been saved, if you've not given your life to God, I would encourage you to do it now. Salvation is by faith, not by works, lest any man should boast. If you don't know how to do that, then please give me a call or visit my website at www.john1415.org. May God bless you.